Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
Greetings. It's great to be with you. And I want to thank Josh for his very, very gracious introduction. We have served this church, as Josh said, and I retired in early 2014 and did several interim ministries. Several years ago, we gave up interim ministries, returned here. Josh has received us with open arms and has always been so very, very gracious to us. I appreciate it so very much. I'm kind of surprised he did invite me to speak. It hasn't been that long ago I was pulled over by a state trooper. That's right. And I said, oh, don't give me a ticket. I'm just a poor preacher. And he said, I know. I heard you speak not too long ago. Everything happens to me. What I share with you today is not a brag. It's not a boast. It's not a complaint. It's just a word about my wife, Lois, and I, who we are, and how we did it. You know, I remember as a kid in the 1960s, we used to sleep out on the front porch in the hot summertime, and we'd listen to the radio station. I think down here, you probably tuned in to KMOA in Oklahoma City. Well, we listened to WLS out of Chicago. And every night, this famous DJ by the name of Dick Biante would come on and wish Mr. and Mrs. Forever Married happy anniversary. And when he would do so, he would always say, and they never had a fight. Now, we need to remind ourselves of something. When we come into marriage, we bring some luggage. My wife had the Samsonite luggage, you know, but there was, that thing that lasted forever. But anyway, the luggage we bring into marriage is an invisible luggage. I mean, it has some things not seen, but very real. Personality. It has our beliefs in it, our habits, our abilities, our skills, a whole host of other things. And we find out we don't see eye to eye on everything. So how do we deal with it? I'm going to share with you several things that we did. And perhaps you can find something in there that will help you out. First, live in God. That's right, live in God. Peter made a good confession. We find that there in the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter, for thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. My wife and I made that confession many years ago as small children, and we were baptized by Brother Simpson. We grew up in the church. It was a very active church, just like this one. And it invested a whole lot in young people, sent a lot of young people into the ministry. Ministers, professors, minister of music, minister wives. Wow. There was never a time we were outside the church. We were very active in the church. Sunday school, CYF. I was a junior deacon. I knew her family. She knew me and my family, but married me anyway. Now, what do we have with God? Number one, it gave us a sense of purpose in life. We didn't have to figure out who we were, what we were going to do with our lives. It gave us a sense of purpose and direction for our marriage. We knew we were in the ministry. It shaped how we related to one another. It shaped how we raised our family, how we related to the community, how we went about our ministry in life. I want to tell you something, guys. Your future wife might be sitting here. Gals, your future husband might be sitting here. Take note. You have a great minister who is doing great things here. You have a great congregation. You're making a great investment in the souls of in this community, in the young people. And I say to you, keep on living the Christian life, being a part of this congregation and growing. Well, not only that, but he gave us, my wife and I being in God, things to live by, like love, which was a great guiding principle. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It's not proud, it's not rude. Hey, that's great for one another, and it's great for living in the world today. Second thing, live with goodness. That's right. And a part of that goodness is romance. Hey, I heard about this kid one night is really kissing his girlfriend and dad, pretty strict, came out and caught him and said, I'll teach you to kiss my daughter. He said, you don't have to. I already know how. Oh, romance is a great thing. Hey, look at the Song of Solomon, if you don't think so. Now, how do you keep on with the dates and the flowers, opening of the door? You want to keep that alive. No, now, here's some things about preserving that that helps it along the way. Number one, doing things for one another without being asked. You come home one night, you're tired, worn out, your wife is at a meeting, and you see some big, huge pots sitting on the counter, too big for the dishwasher, and you know your wife's going to be worn out when she gets home. That dish, and these pots are greasy, and you've got to clean the inside of them with a power chisel or a power sandal, but you go ahead and wash it anyway, and dry it, and put away. You do so without being asked. It's listening. You know something's wrong with your wife. What's my mom? I don't know what that means. Well, if you love me, you'd stand there and listen and ask me questions. Part of keeping alive romance. Don't ever criticize your mate in public either. You might be tempted to do so. Somebody's going off on about their husband and wife. Oh, yeah. Do not ever criticize me for things that cannot change. It's created all of us unique. You know, your fingerprint is very unique. In the war, my dad used to sign his receipt for his check with a fingerprint. Individual. God's created us that way. The world couldn't function. We were all the same. The church couldn't function. Look around. All the wonderful things people are doing every Sunday to bring about a worship service for the glory of God. Don't make unfair comparisons. Have a sense of humor. Have a sense of humor. I was fascinated by the late Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of England, saw them through the dark days when Hitler was pounding them into the dust. Now, he and his wife had an interesting way of dealing with their differences. On one occasion, Lady Churchill said to Winston, if I were your wife, I would poison your tea. He said, if I were your husband, I would drink it. Word of God in the book of Hebrews puts a high premium on a sense of humor. A merry heart is a good medicine, according to the book of Proverbs. You know, it's been proven scientifically, medically, that laughter's good for you. It releases some of those enzymes that's good for you. It eases tension. It helps us see things in another way. Have sent you. Now I'm going to tell you something else. That might seem strange. Send your wife to the beauty shop. Hey, you know what? Years ago, I found out you could go to the beauty shop, make an appointment, get your hair cut. You didn't have to wait, you know, in the barbershop, you know. But, you know, that has its benefits, too. But I was in the first time I went in there, I was in there for 3 hours just for the estimate. So, just for the. Now, what do I say? Send your wife to the beauty shop. And I'm not saying anybody's wife needs to go to the beauty shop. That's not what I'm getting at. I think there's something psychological goes on at the beauty shop. I think it's good for the ladies to have that attention and to be pampered. I just think it's good for them, and it's good for you. Yeah, live with goodness. Live with gifts. Live with gifts. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 4 talks about the gifts that God gave to the church. I think that means not only the people of the church, but I think all of us were given particular gifts. When we got married, well, my wife was the musician, still is the musician. I couldn't sing, could carry a tune in a basket. You know, the church heard me sing years and years ago and asked me to sing on the hill far away. And not to him. She had that ability, but she also had another ability. She had an eye for detail. She kept the books. As a young girl in high school, she kept the books on weekends for a department store, made the payroll. She worked for the FBI also, you know, during the Hoover administration. No, she didn't pack a pistol, but I still can't get away with anything. She knows when I've been in the icebox, she sees the tracks in the jello. But she keeps the books. That wasn't as a result of a battle royal. I recognize that gift. There's a benefit there, too. According to the actuaries, she's probably going to outlive me. And anything happens to me, she's going to know all about her finances. We both know about where every penny, where every nickel goes. You heard about the big splash there was. A couple got caught on kissing cams at a big concert. Well, there was another thing called financial infidelity. Not in our situation. We both know all about it. And when I'm gone, she'll know. She's not going to have any hidden surprises. Debts she didn't know about, bills not paid. And if you use your gifts in marriage, a lot of times that just takes care of a lot of hassles. A lot of hassles. Live in growth. Live in growth. You know, in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it ends, it talks about what love does. Love is kind. Love is good. It perseveres. And it goes on to talk about what happens. You know, about being a child and putting away childish things. We know in part, and then we'll know fully. It points up the thing about us that we grow. When you became a Christian, you didn't know all about the Bible. You didn't know all about the Christian life. That's why we gather together as a church to worship, to hear the Word of God proclaim, to have Bible study, to serve. We never can say, oh, we've arrived. We go on growing. Grow as an individual, a Christian. Grow in your marriage. Find good books. Find articles. Attend services where the Word of God is being proclaimed on all subjects, especially on the marriage. Continue being a part of the church. And remember this. From time to time, you'll hear someone say, hey, it's a marriage made in heaven. Okay. But you remember this. Someone says marriage is made in heaven. But remember this. The maintenance is done on earth. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pause to praise your name for Jesus Christ, who our Lord and Savior, and one who is our eternal contemporary. Now may these be moments that we examine our relationship with Christ, we examine our relationship with one another as husband and wife, that we examine our relationship with one another. We pray your blessing upon this service, and upon our lives and relationships. We pray these things in your almighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless, and have a great week.